How many presidents do you think in their inaugural address have referenced God down through history in America? Does anybody know how many? All of them. I'd like to just quote a few. George Washington said, "It would be peculiarly improper to commit in this first official act my fervent supplications to that almighty being who rules over the universe." John Adams, "A decent respect for Christianity among the best recommendations for public service." John Thomas Jefferson prayed, "That infinite power which rules the destinies of the universe." James Madison, "The guidance of that almighty being." Andrew Jackson, "The goodness of that power whose providence mercifully protected our national infancy." And 11, James Polk prayed, "I fervently invoke the aid of that almighty ruler of the universe." James Buchanan, "I must humbly invoke the God of our fathers." Abraham Lincoln, "Intelligence, patriotism, Christianity, and a firm reliance on him who has never yet forsaken this favored land are still competent to adjust in the best way all our present difficulties." And 18, Ulysses S. Grant, "I ask the prayers of the nation to Almighty God." William Kinley said, "Our faith teaches that there is no safer reliance than upon the God of our fathers." Harry S. Truman, "That all men are created equal because they are created in the image of God." Ronald Reagan noted, "We are a nation under God, and I believe God intended for us to be free." George W. Bush, "And my first act as president is a prayer. I ask that you humbly bow now as I pray." And then he prayed, "Heavenly Father." Barack Obama, "This is the source of our confidence, the knowledge that God calls us to shape an uncertain destiny." Donald Trump, "Trump alluded to the strength of a nation. There should be no fear. We are protected and we will always be protected. And most importantly, we will be protected by God." The atheists are Johnny-come-latelys. Their demands to ban God and the Bible is based on an arrogance that does not respect those of us who have faith in God. Here then is the question: could any other religion or worldview have birthed this nation and made America what she is today? Let's think about naturalism or secularism. It would not have allowed this, which is the very fundamental basis of our tenets of our foundations of our nation, and it comes from the Declaration of Independence. Let me read this. "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed." Naturalism and secularism would not have allowed that. And as such, would we have been equal? It tickles me how people think that Christianity is somehow bigoted. I want to go, are you kidding me? Christianity taught me that every one of you are on the same level with me. There is nobody that is above me. Naturalism and secularism does just the opposite. For it espouses the survival of the fittest. And there are some that are better than others. And they are the ones that should teach the lesser ones or be in control of the lesser ones. How about the religious? Hinduism. Do you think Hinduism could have founded America and the state she's in? No. Why? Hinduism believes in a caste system, does it not? Along with Buddhism, what did they believe? They believe that there are the Brahmins. They believe that there are those that are below that. There's three levels. You can't get out of those levels, by the way. If you're in that, that's until you're reincarnated, and then you come back and you can try to get out of that. So there are levels. Is everyone equal? No. In that system, and if you go to India, you know that that system demands that you follow levels. How about then Islam? Could Islam not have founded this country? How many of you know what Sharia law is? It is the law set up by Islam over a country where the majority are Islamic. Can you worship publicly any other god or any other faith other than Islam in those countries? No. It's against the law. Is there an openness to people of different backgrounds? What did they do to the homosexuals in Islam? They put them to death. In America, in the love of God, we embrace them. So what is this? Where did we come up with this? There are those in the secular community that think we came up with this love just out of... Let me say this. Without virtue, virtuous freedom, there is no freedom. We have chaos. We have pop culture freedom. Do you know what pop culture freedom is? Everybody ought to have everything free. Whatever's the going thing, let's just make that free. And I ought to have my freedom, you know, like anybody else has their freedom. No. Virtuous freedom means I respect someone else's freedom as much as I respect my freedom. That is the Christian concept of freedom. I respect your freedom as much as I respect my freedom. For God taught us that we are all equal. Your freedom is not any better than my freedom, but my freedom's not any greater than your freedom. In naturalism, that doesn't work. In secularism, that doesn't work. Because there is some that are better than others in their intellectual prowess. No. This country could not have been founded with a virtuous freedom. Freedom comes from God. God is one. Jesus said, I come that you might hear the truth, and the truth will set you free. Why is it the world thinks that you're in slavery when you're a Christian? No, it's just the opposite. Christianity is the freeing of man to become himself, to be liberated, to experience who God made him. And I, as a Christian, respect that liberality. Only in Jesus can I know that liberality. And I've had people say, well, I just believe everybody ought to have a right. Yeah, until it imposes on your rights. Until it imposes on your rights. Then you tell me if you still have that liberality. No, because secularism wants to shut down Christianity in all the schools. So why is that? Because they feel that it imposes on their secularism. We as Christians do not feel imposed upon because there are secularists or naturalists. If you want to be a naturalist in this country, it is good. Go for it. I would hope that you would come to Christ. I would hope that you would be liberated. I would hope that you would find the freedom that God made intended for all of us. But you see, all of the things that we try to do in our lives are to seek to try to have freedom that God has already established for us if we just turn our lives over to Him. In Him is true freedom. Outside of that, we are slaves. Slaves to our lust, slaves to our own pride, slaves to our own intellect. So what is the consequence of a nation who rejects religion, rejects God, and rejects the leadership of virtue. Chaos. And what does chaos demand of its government? Anybody know? Totalitarianism. That's the only thing left. You have to have a dictator. You have to have somebody come in and rule with an iron fist. If you go back and study, do a little bit of study. As Christians, we should be studying to know, not to condemn, but to know. We talk about Stalin and Hitler. They eliminated more people in a short period of time than any in the history of mankind. Where did they come from? Both of them studied in universities and rejected the concept of God. And when it came to Stalin, he himself said, I will follow the survival of the fittest, and only those who I deem as worthy shall be worthy. And he eliminated, by the way, eliminated almost half his staff. He just killed them all. Why? And had no conscience about it. Because in his secularism, he had, you know, this is survival of the fittest, whatever. It took a nation whose president and whose people said, we will not stand for those of the past and the present who stand in the very lifestyle of elimination of life, because we were founded in this. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that being life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Those did not come from the world, nor even from man. I believe God, through certain men, imposed and gave them the concept that comes straight from the Scriptures, that in Christ Jesus is freedom. And freedom alone comes from God. I read this past week of a man who lived his life in England in all his passions so that he would know freedom. Near the end of his life, he looked at his lover and he said, do you think we ever really cared about any of those young men that we had? And then his lover said, no. And he said, I don't think so. He said, me either. I need freedom. Call a priest. There is an alternative. And that alternative is in the Scriptures we read this morning. If my people, which are called by my name. By the way, notice, it's if my people, which are called by my name. He's speaking to only those who say, I believe in God. Only those who arrest themselves unto God. Only those who surrender their lives to God. Only those who believe in God. Only those who trust in God. If my people, which are called by my name, if they will do this, they will humble themselves. We are to pray, and we are to seek his face. We are to turn from our wicked ways. And then he will hear from heaven. Nowhere in there does it say, if Donald Trump or the Democratic Party or the atheist or Richard Dawkins or the news media or anybody out there will humble themselves, then we will be a new nation. No. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. I will heal them. I will give them freedom. Do you know what most people don't realize? The reason they are searching and working so hard to get where they think they need to get is because they're desperately desiring freedom. And so every opportunity that they can push the envelope for freedom, they will do it. But the fact is, what they really need is God, because in Christ Jesus is freedom. I am free to love you if you are different from me. I am free to love all of mankind, no matter what man does. I am free to envelop all that I am and all that I have. I am happy with who I am. I am free to accept who I am. I am given freedom to walk on this planet with a smile on my face and a joy in my heart, because I know God created me for a purpose. And this is true freedom. Outside of that, it's fake and false and a lie. I don't know where you stand, but I'm going to give you an opportunity this morning, as we do in our church, to humble yourself and to pray and to seek His face and to turn from your ways. And He says, then I will hear. You say, how will I know it? Because He said so. I remember when I accepted Christ at 23 years of age in Dallas, Texas, 22, in 1972. And God said, many are called, but only a handful are chosen. And that I struggle with that. Why is it that God says many are called, but only a few are chosen? He chooses you because you humble yourself and you pray and you seek His face and turn from your wicked ways. He then chooses you. Not everybody who says, I'm a Christian, not everybody who comes and walks around and says, I know God will take care of me, I know I can pray to God. No, only those who humble themselves and pray and seek His face and turn from their wicked ways, then God will hear from heaven. That is a requirement. The T-H-E-N, then, means at that point, God will hear you. He will forgive your sins, and He will free you forever. Today, I want to give you that opportunity. We're going to bow together in prayer right now, if you will. And I'm going to ask you, if you need to pray that prayer, that you pray that prayer to God as I pray it.